First, I'm Pastor Knickerbocker, and my children, David is my oldest, so he's in the back, and he's five, and then I have four more, three girls, Adeline, she's four, Sophia, she's three, Adeline, she's one and a half, and then we have a new boy, just 3 months old, and his name is Leland. And so we're staying busy, but we're grateful for our children. We love our children. And I thought to myself, I was invited to come to camp, so I thought I'll just bring the whole family, and we'll have a good week together. But I'm glad I'm here this week. I'm glad that you are here as well. I've been praying for this time, and you may not know me. Some of you know me, have met me before. Some of you haven't, but I'm thrilled to be here. I've been praying for this week. I've been praying for you as well, that God will do work in your heart and also in my heart as well. All right. Now, I want to talk, before we go into the message this evening and we open our Bibles, I want to talk a little bit about the theme, because I think that's a very good theme. Always faithful, Semper Fi. You know, we think about a soldier, they're supposed to always be faithful. That's what's expected of them. Even in difficult times, right? They face the enemy, they always have to be faithful, they can't quit. And that's kind of part of the motto again. Of the soldiers there, to always be faithful. But I want us to consider and think for a moment on where does the trait of being faithful come from? Anybody know? Where does that come from? Yes. Okay, good. But who is, put it this way, who is the greatest example of faithfulness? Yes. God. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. So we think about being always faithful, we have to think about God. Now this evening, I have a message that I've been praying about to share with you this evening. And what we're going to do is, throughout the message, I'm going to give you some references. And what I want us to do is do a sword drill. Okay, now the winner of each sword drill will get a little gift from me at the end. Okay, I won't tell you what it is, but you'll get, I'll write your name down so I know who gets that, and I'll call your name at the end for all those. But, so let's take our Bibles, okay? So everybody's going to hold your Bible up, just like that. All right, don't put your finger in the middle. There we go. I got to see all the Bibles. Everybody's got your Bible, right? Okay, all right. Good. Now, I'm going to say the reference. Nobody move. Say the reference, and then you're going to repeat it, and then I'm going to say go. Now, the winner is the person that when you find the verse, you have to say the first word of the verse, okay? You can't just stand up and wait a few seconds, okay? The person that stands up first and says the first word will be the winner, okay? And counselors, help me, because there might be a few people at the same time, okay? So here is the reference, okay? Ready? The reference is Luke 15, 11. Go.
And.
All right, here we have it. We have the winner. All right, let's stop here. What's your name? Give me your name. What is it?
Eli.
Eli. All right, Eli, go ahead. Read that verse 11.
And he said, a certain man had two sons.
All right, that's good. Good job, Eli. All right, now, what I want to do is, before we get started into the message, you can put your Bibles down now. We'll have some more throughout the service. But listen very carefully, okay? As Brother said earlier, this is the most important time of camp. It's not because I'm here. It's the most important time every year, even when I'm not here. Why? Because we open the Word of God, okay? So I want everybody to sit straight up, okay? Have your Bibles open and look up here, okay? If you start looking around, start talking to your friend, I might call you out, and I really don't want to do that. Because what happens is you're going to distract other people. Maybe God is working in their hearts, and you might be able to ruin that. And so we don't want that to happen, all right? And so if you just pay attention, sit up, keep your eyes open. There's no excuse on the first day to fall asleep, okay? Now, maybe Thursday night we can talk about it, but not tonight, okay?
All right, now notice here, I want you to follow along as I read in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. Okay, Luke 15. As you turn there, verse 11, we're going to read a few verses here and then give you a few thoughts this evening. So Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. All right, I'll wait till all the pages are done turning. All right. Luke 15, 11. Notice the Bible says, and he said, that's Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's pigs, all right? And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, the story doesn't stop there. Notice verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was gone, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now this is, to us, I think if you've been in church a little bit, it's a pretty familiar story. We would call the story this of, anybody know? Yes? The story of the prodigal son. Now, I'm going to give you another title this evening, and I see you have pens and you're going to be taking notes. So here's the title of the message this morning, because we're thinking about this week, and we're thinking about Simplify, Always Faithful, and really this parable. A lot of times you think, well, that's the parable of the prodigal son, but you know, I like to call this the parable of the faithful father. The parable, that's the title of the message, so you can write it down. The parable of the faithful father and the two rebels. The parable, that's the title, so write it down, so we'll make sure you got it. The parable of the faithful father and the two rebels. I know that's a long title, but you can write it down, that'll be great. Now, a lot of times we think about this story, we think only about the prodigal son, and we think, wow, it's all about him and look at what he did. But really, if we think about it, it's really about the compassion, the faithfulness, and the love of the father. Because if you think about it, at that time, the culture of the day, if you would, if a son was to do that, the father had the right to take his son in the middle of the town, and they had the right to stone him right there to death. Why? For dishonoring his father. So that would be pretty serious. But he did not do that. And so I want us to study this passage, and I want us to think about the faithful father, and then we're going to look at the two rebels. You know, there's two rebels in that story? There's two of them. Now I want you to think about this evening, okay? Each one of us are one of the two rebels. The one rebel, the first one we're going to look at, is what we would call the open rebel. Okay? The second brother, the older brother, is what we call the secret rebel. So there's two types of rebels. There's the open rebel And then there's the secret rebel. And so we're going to talk about this story for just a moment. And why don't you think here, because this is really a very important message. I'm going to deal with some things and talk about some things this evening that if you get this settled tonight in your life, you're going to have a good week this week. Okay? If you don't get that settled, your week won't be as good. And so I hope that you pay attention closely this evening. And so as we consider here this passage, I want us to think a little bit about what was the circumstance or the context of what was going on. Well, if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, notice Luke 15, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, God mentions here that there are two types of people that came to Jesus. There was the publicans and then the sinners. Now, anybody have any idea who are the publicans? Anybody know? Who are the publicans? Tax collectors. Okay? Now, you don't pay taxes yet, but when you pay taxes, you'll understand that. Okay? Nobody likes to pay taxes. But the problem with these people here is that they were Jews, and they cheated, and they lied, and they stole from people. You see, back then, the way people collected taxes back then is that people would they would go from house to house and then sometimes stand at the gate of a city, and then they would collect taxes from people. And the Roman government says, okay, if you collect this much, then you can keep this much. So what they would do is they would say, well, you give me this much, which was more than what was required, and then they would keep a bigger chunk for themselves. So they were known among all the people as lying thieves. And so they're seeing these publicans that they despised come to Jesus. And then, who else is coming to Jesus? The Bible says, sinners. Now, sinners is people that they looked at as, you know, people that we don't want to be associated with, and people that are, you know, filthy and dirty, and people that sin all the time. And these are the types of people that came to Jesus. Now, let me here stop, because I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a missionary. He was a pastor. I went to church every Sunday. I read my Bible. I prayed. But get this, I was a sinner. I am a sinner, and so are you, even if you go to church, and even if your daddy and your mommy is a preacher, even if you go to church every Sunday, you're a sinner. Can I say that Jesus came for sinners, not for righteous people? That's what he said. Now, notice in verse 2 of Luke 15, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So here, look it. There's the publicans Jesus is teaching. There's the publicans and the sinners coming, and they're gathered around Jesus. They're listening to his teaching. They're seeing his miracles. And right behind that crowd would be the religious people. You see, you have the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're all kind of murmuring, saying, He spends times with sinners. He spends time with publicans, and everybody hates those people. And they thought that they were righteous. They thought they were perfect. They thought that they were without any fault. Why? Because they always went to the temple. They offered sacrifices. They paid their tithes. They offered their alms. They would pray great prayers before people. And you know, in Israel that time, the Jews, when they looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, they're like, wow, these are the most spiritual people, and if anybody would be going to heaven, it would be them. But here they're murmuring, and they're saying, look, these publicans and sinners, and Jesus is eating with them. Why? Because Jesus was interested in sinners. Now, with this context, Jesus now is going to speak, and he's going to address those people, and he's going to tell them three parables. The first parable in this text is the parable of the lost sheep, where he gives a parable of a man that lost a sheep, and he went out and found the sheep and brought his friends to rejoice that he found the sheep. Then, the second parable is the parable of the lost coin, where a coin was lost. This lady lost a coin in her house, and she turned the house upside down, and she finally found the coin, and she rejoiced and invited her neighbors, and they all rejoiced that she found the coin. And then he's going to give this last parable to illustrate really the attitude and the spirit of those scribes and Pharisees. And we have the parable we know as the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son. But really, we see three types of people here in this account, and I want us to look at those three people. So first of all, in your notes, number one, we see this. We see number one, the failing son. Okay? Or the failure of a son, the failing son, the son that failed, the son that we remember as the prodigal son. Now remember, there are two types of rebels, okay? What are the two types of rebels we're going to look at in this passage? Yes, sir. What's your name?
Tristan,
what are the two types of rebels?
Open rebel.
Okay, there's the open rebel. Good job, Tristan. And the secret rebel. So we're going to look at, first of all, here, the open rebel, or could we say, the open sinner. And we're going to look at his life. Now, notice what he did. It's interesting. And everything that he did was open. Now, he is also interesting. He is the younger brother. Now, how many of you have siblings? How many of you? How many of you are the oldest? You're the oldest in your family, okay? How many of you are the youngest? Okay. How many of you are the middle child? I was the middle child. Okay. Now, this is the younger. There's two sons. This is the younger one. There's also an older brother. So we're looking at the younger brother, who is the open rebel and the open sinner. Now, notice here, we see, first of all, that he rebelled. The Bible says, notice in verse 12, I want you to follow along there. In verse 12, the Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Give me. Well, that sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? He says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Now, a lot of times we kind of overlook that, but notice the younger son says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. And basically what he was saying back then, and sometimes it still works this way, back then when a father died, that would be when the older son would receive the inheritance of the father. And so here, basically, this younger son, as it comes to his father, you know what he's basically saying? I wish you were dead. Well, that's a pretty serious accusation. I don't want to be around you anymore. And he was an open rebel. He rebelled and he says, give me what belongs to me now. I'm not going to wait till you die. I want it now. And notice the Bible says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And so this young man, he thinks about for a few days all the things that he can do with all this money and all of this wealth. And the Bible says he goes into a far country. You know, he has no intention anymore to be around his father. And as he's with his father, he wastes all that he has. All his money is gone. Why? Because he lived it up. He wasted it all. And now the Bible says he has nothing. And notice the Bible continues and says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Well, verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So get this. This young man now has nothing. It's all gone. And he is so desperate that he goes and he is hired to basically watch over a group of pigs. Now, to us, well, that's great, that's a job. Again, to a Jew, watching the pigs would be the worst job possible. And he had that job. In other words, out of all the jobs that would be listed, from the greatest to the least, feeding the pigs and hanging around with the pigs would be the least likable job for the Jew. So, you know what people would say when they would see him feed the pigs? They'd say, look at him. Look at the job he has. He's not worth anything. Look, he was so desperate. He was feeding off the pig's food. Now, I've ate pig, but I haven't ate pig's food. Anybody here? No? Okay, I don't think so. Now, that's a pretty bad state. But notice what happens to this open rebel. He defies his father. He said, I'm going to live it my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. And he was open about it. And notice what he realizes in verse number 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And so you see what he does here? He thinks about all the good food that he had when he was at his father's house. He thinks of how good his life was back then. And he's looking at his belly being filled with pig's food. And he's disgusted. He thinks, wow, I had it good back there. That was actually, I wanted to leave, but it was actually a pretty good life there in my father's house. So what does he do? We see he rebelled. He recognized his condition as an open rebel. And then, notice, he repented. The Bible says, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So, this younger son determines to, get this, repent of his sin. He decides to turn his life around and to say, I was wrong. I have sinned. Notice what he says. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And then he arose and went. And so think about it. As he's died, remember, he went to a far country. So now as he's heading back, he's probably saying this in his mind. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And so he rehearses that as he goes to his father's house. And then we know what happens here. He sees his father sees him a far way, and he runs to him, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But think about it. He got right with his father, and he acknowledged it. He acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged his sin against heaven, God, and against his father. And you know what he did? He said this, I'm a sinner, I'm wrong, and I'm going to repent and ask for forgiveness. That's what he did. Now, that's not complicated. That's pretty simple. But that's exactly what he did. Now, notice here, what kind of rebel is this? The open rebel. The younger son. In other words, when you looked at this open rebel, you would say, ah, I see him. He's a rebel. That younger one, the younger son, he's going to be troubled. He's going to turn out wrong. He's going to do the wrong thing. He's not going to live right. Everybody looked at him as the open rebel. But guess what? That open rebel got right with God and was restored to his father. Now, that's the open rebel. Okay, that's the failing son. Number two, we not only see the failing son, but number two, second point, we see the faithful father. The faithful father. This father is pretty phenomenal here. Because he went against the culture of that day. What was the culture again? If a son did that to his father, what would happen?
He would take him to the city and kill him.
He could be stoned to death. For dishonoring his father. That's pretty strict, isn't it?
Now, notice here, this type of father, he's not the norm. The Bible says here, notice the first thing that we see the father do. Now, that's not when the son comes back. What's the first thing we see the father do? Notice, go back to verse 12. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he, that's the father, divided unto them his living. You see, the first thing we see the father do is what? He gives.
That's the first thing he did. He could have taken him out to the city and stoned him to death. But he gives him what doesn't belong to him yet. You know, God is the same way. He gives. He gave you breath to breathe today. He gave you the strength to wake up this morning. God did that. He's always giving. You know, a lot of times we look at all things, well, look at what I can't do. And look. No, God is always giving. That's the first thing this father did. He gave his son something he did not deserve. But notice, we not only see the father giving, but we see him. Notice, if we go down to verse 20, the Bible says, and he arose, that's the son, came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. So, the father is first giving, but now notice, we see the father what? Watching. The father was watching all along. So, get the picture here. The father would probably
Sometime during the day, I'm sure he had many things he had to do. But sometime during the day, he would go out and he would wait for his son. He would probably sit somewhere where he could be kind of above everything else, so he could look at a distance to see if his son was coming home. And he would do that day after day after day after day. And you know that's how God is. With open rebels, those that rebel against him and those that rebel against their parents, God is like that. He is open. He is waiting for the open rebel to one day turn, repent, and turn back to God. That's a faithful father. So the faithful father is giving. He's watching. But notice what else he is doing. We see that he is, and the Bible says, and had compassion. His father saw him and had compassion and ran. Now again, we think, wow, that's, what does that mean? He ran. Well, he ran, but back then it's pretty significant. Basically, a typical Jewish father would have his normal garments, but you know, not looking like this, but outside of his garments, he would have a kind of a big coat or garment that would be on the outside. And what he would do to run, because if you have a big garment, you can't run really easily, so he would have to lift it up so that he could run. And that was considered, in the Jewish culture, disgraceful. But he did it anyway. You see, he sees his son afar off, and he runs to him. He's excited to see his son back. It shows to us how excited God is when an open rebel repents. You see, he is giving, he's watching, he's running, but notice he's also embracing. Verse 20 tells us, after he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. David, stand up. I'm going to say, this is my son, so I can do that with him. He sees him back there, and he's like, look, there he is. I've been waiting for him so long. And so he runs over there, and he embraces him. And he kisses him. Why, he's so happy to see him. That's what happened. Now he's scared. He thought he was in trouble. That's what he did. He was happy to. You know what that meant? You know what that meant back then? It would mean to all the other people that were watching around, that thought of that son as the open rebel. They saw him and they said, he's accepted by his father. You know, open rebels are accepted with God if they repent. He's giving. He's watching. He's running. He's embracing. But notice the last thing he does. Verse 22. But the father, notice, as the son says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And notice the father stops him. Isn't that what he was rehearsing? It was kind of cut short. Because something's missing. Notice verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And so now he stands before his father and his father says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father stops him. And you see what he does? His father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. The first thing the father did was what? Giving. The last thing the father did was giving. He gave him a brand new robe. Giving a ring that would let everybody know that this is my son. Brand new shoes. Because no doubt from a long journey, the shoes were all torn and worn. And he gives them the best. The open rebel has been given the best. Why? Because it's the faithful father. So you have the failing son, the faithful father. But thirdly, I want us to look at, this is really what I really want you to pay attention. We see the fake son. The fake son. Notice what happens. A lot of times we kind of look at this story and there's many more things we could say.
But there's another brother.
And really the problem here was, remember how the story started? The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious crowd, was complaining and murmuring that Jesus was spending time with publicans, thieves, liars, and sinners, and eating with them. And they thought, well, why does he come and hang out with us? Why does he spend a lot of time with us? Because we are the cream of the crop. We're the religious. We're the good people. We're the people going to heaven, and those people aren't. And so Jesus Christ is going to finish the story by showing them they were fake.
And this second son, notice what happens if you follow along. The Bible says in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field. So he's doing his job, he's doing good, seems like. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Notice here, verse 28, what was his attitude? He was what?
Angry.
Angry. Now, the father was what? He was rejoicing. He was happy. He was thrilled that his son came home.
But this son is angry. You know what that is? That's a secret rebel. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? He said that if you hate in your heart, you are guilty of murder. But wait a minute. He was faithful. He didn't leave his father. But his heart was black as the walls of hell. You see, he was on the outside doing all that he was supposed to do. And everybody would look at him and say, yeah, that's the good son. And over there, that's the open rebel. But God knew the heart of that young man. And he knew that he was a fake. His anger. You see, it'd be like this. I have different children. One of my child is more like this. I want you to do this. That's an open rebel. But then I have another child that does this. Can you do this, please? Yes, Daddy. But she never does it. So one of them is an open rebel, but another one is a secret rebel. There's two types of rebels.
He is angry. Notice the Bible says, and he says, look, I've done all this. I've served you. I haven't transgressed any of your commandments. I've kept your commandments. I've done everything you asked me to do. And you know a lot of times what we do?
When we think about whether we are going to heaven or not, we think, well, I'm a pretty good kid. You know, I grew up, my dad was a preacher, so I always went to church. I prayed. I memorized verses. I went to camp. But you understand, I was not a Christian. I got saved when I was 8 years old. How many of you are 8 years old? Okay, a few of you. I was saved when I was 8 years old. That's when I became a Christian. But for the longest time of my life, I was a secret rebel. You know what I thought? Well, all those bad people out there, they need to get right with God. And we got to get the message to them, because they sure need to have their life changed. Their life is in a mess. You know what happened is I never saw my own heart as black and dark for what it was.
What happens? The father says to his son, he says in verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this my brother was dead. Thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Luke chapter 5 verse 32 says this. Jesus said, I came not
to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says Christ Jesus came not into the world, or came into the world to save sinners. You see, whether someone is an open rebel or a secret rebel, they both have to recognize that they're sinners. Look up here. Coming. We're not done. Okay, we're almost done here. What would you say would be sin? Anybody have any idea what sin is? Yes, okay.
Something that God says you're not supposed to do.
Okay, something that God says you're not supposed to do. What would be an example of that? What was that? Did you hear something?
Lying.
Yes.
Cheating.
Stealing. Did they stole yours? Anybody else?
Swearing.
Disobeying your parents.
Murder.
And look, and Felisco, do you have another one?
Smoking.
Okay. Yeah. Being angry. Good. Well, look, we could build up a whole list. Are you aware that whether you've lied 1,000 times or 1 time, you're considered a liar? Whether you've hated 1 time or 1,000 times, according to the eyes of God, you're a murderer. You say, wow, that's pretty serious. It is. It is. And it's something very important to consider. Why? Because notice, who was the son that was accepted? The one that repented of his sin, recognized that he was a sinner, and says, I want deliverance to go back to the Father. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin debt. And when he died on the cross, all of your sins were nailed there with him. The Bible says he, Jesus, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, so that we could be declared perfect. Why? Not because we're any good, but because Jesus Christ is perfect and he took our place. But here's where I want to make sure everybody understands. Some of you this evening, you're a Christian because one day you got right with God, you repented, you recognized you were a sinner, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of you got saved because you knew you were an open rebel and you got right with God. And some of you, you were a secret rebel and you got right with God. But you know, there are a lot of people here, there's a lot of young people, and I venture to say that among you, there are some open rebels that still have not repented and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I venture to say there's also some, as I was the case when I was 8 years old, who are secret rebels. And you act the part, you go to church, you memorize verses, you read your Bible. But in your heart, you know that you're not a Christian. But you've never really repented of your sins and turned to God for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved this evening, and I say that if you do that this evening, you'll have a better camp this week. You will have a better camp this week. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around. Now, this is very important. I don't want anybody looking around. Just put your stuff away. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. I'm going to start by asking this. How many of you would say, no one looking around, I'm the only one looking around with the counselors, but if God has spoken to your heart this evening, and you say, Pastor Knickerbocker, God spoke to my heart tonight. And you could say, whether I'm an open rebel or a secret rebel, God spoke to my heart tonight. And you know what? I don't know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that I'm saved. I think I do all the right things, but in my heart, I don't feel like I'm a Christian. I don't. I've never really got right with God. Anybody this evening, when no one look around, say, Pastor Knickerbocker, would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this evening? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. If you raise your hand, would you please do this? Would you look up here? Just those that raise your hand, would you look up here? Okay.
Would you like to have a counselor show you from the Bible how you could become a Christian? All right. So if I could have a counselor over here. And then... Okay. All right. How many of you young people... Anybody else this evening? If you're a young person, you say, Pastor Knickerbocker, I do not know for sure that I'm a Christian. But you know what? God spoke to my heart this evening. And if someone could show me from the Bible tonight how I could be a Christian, I would like to know that tonight. Anybody this evening? Would you raise your hand? Okay, well, let me ask you this for the rest of you. Are you an open rebel or a secret rebel? If you determine that in your heart and say, you know what? I know what I am. And I know where I fit. And I know that I need to get right with the Lord. What I'd like to do is, as the pianist plays, you can kneel at your chair or kneel here at the altar. If the Lord spoke to your heart, I encourage you to come and kneel at the altar. And ask the Lord to help you, whether you're a secret rebel or an open rebel.